الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ليس بأمانيكم ولا أماني أهل الكتاب من يعمل سوءا يجز به ولا يجد له من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, in the early days of Islam, as the Muslims had pulled into Medina Munawwara, then there would be encounters between the Muslims and the Jews, discussions, dialogues. On one such occasion, the Jews claimed that our Nabi has come before your Nabi. Our Kitab came before your Kitab. So conclusion, we are better than you. The Muslim can't remain silent, obviously. It's a dialogue. And I don't want to be seen to be defeated. So the Muslim replied, our Nabi came after your Nabi, and our Deen came after your Deen, and our Deen came to abrogate and cancel all the Deens before. Conclusion, we are better than you. So this verses of the Quran were revealed on that occasion, that this decision is not based on your aspirations, your opinions, your thinking. One is what we would like, what we would aspire, and what we would wish for. And one is, what is the standard upon which the decision of Allah Ta'ala is based. For there will be people on the day of Qiyamah, about whom Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعَ. The efforts have gone all waste. All wasted. Within their minds, they thought that they really achieved something. But when they appear on the day of Qiyamah, will they realize that all their efforts were in vain? So Allah Ta'ala had to settle the score and settle the plane and show to mankind what is the standard, so that he is not in a state of confusion. Matters are not complicated before him. He sees things in right and true perspective. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah. So Allah Ta'ala says, the standard is that, number one, unconditional submission. Aslama wajhahu lillah. Unconditional submission. Wahuwa muhsinun. And number two is, he must do it well. In other words, it must be in conformity with the sunnah. Only that can be good, which conforms to the sunnah. We perform the Isha namaz now, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala accept. But if someone with all sincerity, with pure devotion, sincerity, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, everything, in place of 4 rakats, he performed 5 rakats, that namaz of his, will it be accepted? But he says, no, I have all the sincerity. My heart is very good. And I didn't shortchange Allah Ta'ala. Rather, I gave something additional, more than what I was supposed to be giving. And you're so rude in saying that everything is rejected. Just that one step in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just that one step, you had just exceeded one step over him, and everything is gone. So the second condition, that it must conform to his ways. Then will it be recognized as good. And the third condition, وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. We hear this word, Hanif, many a times, right? But very seldom do we take out the time to understand what is this Hanif about. So the simple meaning of Hanif is the one that has abandoned all other ways, has abandoned everything else, and he's come onto the side of Allah Ta'ala. Now we say, whose side are you on? The problem here, this multi-religion dialogue, so whose side are you on? There's a debate going on, or there's a fight going on, whose side are you on? Or there's a culture, mixture of cultures, so whose side are you on? There's ways and fashions, so I ask you, on whose side are you? He says, no, Millat Ibrahim Hanifa, I've divorced every other culture, way, system, fashion, every other concept, have come onto the side of Allah Ta'ala. Now this is called Hanif. He's left everything else and he's come onto the side of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has declared this to be the standard. You want to be on track, then get the standard right. You get the standard right, then you're moving in the right direction. Otherwise, there's a lot of effort that is going on. Like the person that is making 5 rakats in place of 4 rakats, and added to that, he's read the entire Quran Sharif in that 2 rakats of Isha, whole Quran Sharif he read. But just that he exceeded the limit, he overtook Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam asked him just to do 4 rakats, and he went and performed 5 rakats deliberately. Why did you deliberately go against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Everything is rejected. Khalas. Do you see the seriousness of the matter? Now, in this age and time, we are confronted with similar situations. Everybody is aspiring for the right. He wants to do the good. And then he's confronted with situations. Then he's speculating within his mind, am I on the course or not? And I thought of speaking on this because of the type of queries I've been getting recently. So I suppose when this is the thing that is being discussed, it must be in many people's minds as well. When I discussed it with that person, with the doctor, he says, Mawlana, after 12 years now, my mind is settled eventually. This thing was in my mind. And it was in such a turbulent condition, I couldn't just get it out. And I was scared to discuss it with anybody. So he had come for his own work. He discussed it eventually. So the two main obstructions, or one of the two main obstructions, is sometimes people go behind dreams. Some type of an experience, spiritual experience you had, or some type of a dream you will go through, and on account of the dream that you go through, then you base your entire structure of deen on the dream or the spiritual experience that you have gone through. Now, does Allah Ta'ala declare that as the standard? That is what is to be seen. You went through some experience, you felt something very great. But does Allah Ta'ala sanction this? Does He endorse this? That is what is to be deliberated and thought about, that you went through some experience, very good, mashallah. But it is something that is approved and recognized by Allah Ta'ala as well. I have limited time, I have to do everything in this limited time. The topic is quite vast, but for you to understand, you have to give illustrations. If I'm just going to go straight to say this is the principle, then you won't appreciate. But if I support you with some type of illustrations, then you will get to understand the concept. It was approximately 8 centuries ago in India when it was Islamic rule. Whole India was Islam. It is a time when you're getting awliya that were like the kings of awliya. Nizamuddin awliya rahmatullah alayhi. And the likes, Fariduddin Ganja Shakar rahmatullah alayhi. Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullah. That type of people you were getting. Now, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya rahmatullah alayhi used to be listening to some type of Sima. Sima is what we call Nazams and all that. You know? So he used to be engaging in that. But the law of the state was, this is impermissible, you must avoid it. And he himself was not doing it because he wanted to do it, but he was overwhelmed. In that state where he was overwhelmed, he had to use this just as a medication, not as something that he was doing it willfully. It's a point where if he doesn't take it, he's going to damage himself, he's going to hurt himself. So even a doctor will tell you that when you've reached that point, that you're going to damage yourself, you hurt yourself, you can take this, though the medication may be of a doubtful nature. And the Mufti Sahib also will give you the same fatwa. It's of a doubtful nature, but you are in this state, and there is no suitable substitute. So the only solution is this medication. They will ask, they'll tell you even blood transfusion is permissible. Whereas blood, damam masfuhan, is absolutely haram, is absolutely najis, it's filth. But now when it's a question between life and death, they say this is also permissible. So he found himself in that state, and therefore he used to engage. So the ruler wasn't happy with this. And the head of the police, law enforcement, was Qazi Ziauddin Sunami rahmatullah alayhi. So he saw all this and he says, no, you stop it. So he, as much as he wants to stop it, but he's so overwhelmed that he can't restrain. So anyway, it's a lengthy story, I'm just cutting it short, very, very short. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya rahmatullah alayhi explained to Hazrat Qazi Ziauddin Sunami rahmatullah alayhi. He was also a saintly person, though he's the head of the police, law enforcement. But he's also a saintly person. So he says to him, say, if I get Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sanction what I'm doing, then what? If I get Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sanction and approve of what I'm doing, then what? He says, we are stopping you because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings. In the light of his teachings, we are stopping you. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself says that this is permissible, then we've got no reason to stop you. Anyway, he put him in a trance, and there he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a long story, but I'm just cutting it very short. Although it's a very interesting story, because it's not just giving you some thrilling stories and excitement, but it's to pass on certain concepts. And the need to pass on the concept is to clear of many doubts, where people are speculating, doubting, shopping and hopping. So anyway, he got him in that state and he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is standing at Qazi Ziauddin Sunami rahmatullah alayhi. Faqir ko kyu pareshan karte ho? Why are you harassing this buzurg? So anyway, he remained silent for that moment and then he says, Ya Rasulallah, see, I'm in a different state now. But I want to know from you, Ya Rasulallah, one is the hadith that we have learnt with a perfect chain of narrators that has come to us. Authentic, perfect chain of narrators. That's coming from you, its source is yourself, but it's coming with a perfect, authentic chain of narrators. And one is what I'm seeing and hearing in this spiritual state. What do I follow? See, you're in a quandary now. One is something that is coming from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a perfect, authentic chain of narrators. And one is an experience that is spiritual. And you are seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that state. Now, Ya Rasulullah, what am I to emulate? What am I to follow? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him in that state, Bas karne ki baat to wahi hai. The thing you emulate is that which you have got with a perfect, authentic chain of narrators. Now, as much as that spiritual experience may be overwhelming, may be very great, very, very great, but that spiritual experience is a support, it's a secondary thing. It brings about a little bit of beauty. Like a person's body, right? A woman. The actual thing that counts in her is her body. And the makeup, the jewelry is cosmetics. If she's got the body and she doesn't have the cosmetics, it's not a problem. But she's an old hag with all teeth broken down. Like how Hakim Saab would say, you know, the pus is coming out and nose is leaking and everything is gone off. And she's got all the type of jewelry and cosmetics. Will you cast a second glance towards her? So the thing that is to be worked upon is this. This is the body. So I explained to this person, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that many a times you do go through some type of a spiritual experience. And now this experience is experienced in certain gatherings, right? Now, what makes you feel like that? What gets you to feel like that? So there can be multiple reasons why you feel like that. Sometimes it is the person that is in charge of that majlis, etc., he trains himself with the power of concentration. When he trains himself with the power of concentration, then he can pass on a certain feature over you. Now you begin to feel very spiritual, motivated, feel very good. This is the thing, this is what I was looking for. Now, your reasoning is right. Your reasoning is not right. Now, this is one doctor that is speaking to me. And just before that, another phone I received from a woman. She went somewhere, wherever she went, some dini work, whatever she went for. She's getting some very beautiful experiences there. When she comes back home, now she's got so many duties, children, husband, in-laws, her parents, everybody. Now all those feelings are gone. I say, Moran, you know those, what a wonderful experience I had there. And now all those feelings are gone. So I told her, Ben, you know, what you're getting now, I feel that is 100 times better than what you're getting then. Well, what is the reasoning? So I tell him, see, the reasoning is like this. A mother that is understanding, right? Understanding, she knows about health, etc. And the proper development of a child. So when the child is about 2-3 years of age, she will administer what she will give. She will give oats. So that thing will look bland now. No excitement, there's no kick in that, right? Every day she'll give very healthy foods, proteins, vitamins, everything balanced. So the child will be growing up very well balanced, right? And jo ma zara anari si ho, is a little bit stupid, she doesn't know what she's doing. She'll give one Kit Kat, one chocolate, one chewing gum, one lollipop, right? One ice cream, one cold drink. Now, is that the right thing for the right development of the child? And the question is this, what will that child go for this oats that she's being given every day, or with this type of exciting food? Obviously the child's going to run towards this. There's no excitement here. The excitement is here. The thrill, the tamasha is here. Here there's no excitement. So the child will go towards this. But is this the right thing for the development of this child? Now because we don't understand this, therefore we just want to go through an experience. The idea is this, Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah. After all what the mashayikh have taught you and what they have administered towards you, what you need to see is there that unconditional submission in you. Are you coming into submission? The more you are with them, is your level of submission increasing or progressing, or is it deteriorating? This is what you need to see. That experience was a secondary thing. It was a pat on the back. That's all. Nothing more than that. The real thing to see is that, are you progressing in that regards? Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was the revivalist of this previous century. Now you get a revivalist in this century, like Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Then you get Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. They were the revivalists of this century. But one century ago, who was the revivalist? Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. If you look at the work, it was identical. The nature of the work was like Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's work. But a very magnificent figure, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. So they understood this concept so well. So he tells his murid is Maulana Abdul Hayy Sahib Lakhnavi Rahmatullah Ali. So he tells him, you know what, if you ever see me moving off the course of the sunnah, then you must correct me straight away. Otherwise I'll hold you responsible by Allah Ta'ala. Now he is the sheikh. And what is he instructing his murid? The day you see me moving off the course, you must correct me straight away, without any delay. Otherwise I will hold your collar before Allah Ta'ala. So his murid also was of that caliber. The murid says, Abdul Hay itna sasta nahi hai. Jis din maine dekha, ke tu sunnat ki mukhalafat kar raha hai, ekdam se bila itila ki aap se hat jaunga. See, Abdul Hay is not so cheap. The day I see you drifting away from the sunnah, I won't even tell you, I'll move away. Straight. You see, everybody is chasing after that. Hazrat Sayyid Sahib just got married. Just made nikah. So obviously now the first day after the Fajr would be a little bit, there may be a little bit problems. Maybe a little bit problems in the Fajr. So, he just got married and it's Fajr time. But it's the Fajr namaz. And Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah comes a little bit, with a little bit of a delay. The delay means, he got the first rakat. Not that he missed out the first rakat, he got the first rakat. But with a little bit of delay. Not straight away when the Imam said Allahu Akbar. With a little bit of a delay. So the first day was, Abdul Hayy Sahib noticed it. He noticed it, he ignored it. The second day when he saw it again, now he says to his sheikh, imagine who is it? It's a murid. And who is he telling? He's telling his sheikh. Ya to sunnat ki ittiba hogi, ya to phir shadi ki ishrat hogi. It's going to either be one of the two. Either the following and emulating of the sunnah, or the enjoyment of marriage. Now look at Sayyid Sahib's response. So this is in an open gathering. The murid is correcting the sheikh in an open gathering. So the sheikh says, really, I have slipped up, inshallah, this will never recur. So this feelings is not a standard. It's not a criteria. We may think it's a criteria, we may feel very good, excited, very elated. Khalil Ahmad Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's one cousin was Shabir Ahmad. And this Shabir Ahmad also went through spiritual exercises. Now this spiritual exercise is not something that is unique with Muslims. Hindus can also do it, Christians can also do it. And they can achieve certain things through that spiritual exercises. It can make you feel very nice. You feel like you're floating in the air, feel so nice about the whole thing. Yogism and all. Why people go into it? You feel that feeling of tranquility, calm, nice. You feel very, very nice. But it's a pure Hindu culture. But it makes you feel very nice. A lot of excitement you feel. Right. So the danger in all this is that today you may feel that sensation here, right? Tomorrow, for the sensation to continue, you can move on to yogism and Hinduism. Then you can move on to the faith healers in the Christianity. You're going to hop from one to the second to the third. Do you have any standard? Do you have any direction? So this Shabir Ahmad, he also did certain exercises. And the exercise that he did, like these Hindus, they can do exercises. And the exercises that they can do, they can become so strong, that there is an elephant that is standing there. And they can, just with the power of concentration, they can drop it. I saw someone, you know, one whole train is moving with the speed. He says to me, see, I'll stop this thing here. And just with the power of concentration, he stopped the thing for 5 minutes. And then he left his concentration and then he moved again.
Now this is not a thing to be going with. You can exercise it as well. See, like Allah Pak has created different faculties. You want to increase your muscles, so you go through some training. When you go through the training, then you build up your muscles. Don't you build up your muscles? So like we have got a physical capacity, we have got a mental capacity. You will train your mental capacity, you will have that type of a strength. You will train your physical capacity, you will have this type of a strength. But now if you're gonna base your criteria and standard on this feelings, then you're going off. Going absolutely off. So, this Shabir Ahmad, that was Mawlana's first cousin, he had developed this, he developed it to such a point that while he's making zikr, you know, there can be a log, 5 tons. And if he says La ilaha once, he can shift that log from one end to the other end. Illallah, from that end to the other end. And his capacity was such that he will just take your head, press it under his arm, and you will see Nabi Sallallahu alive. Not even the dream. He'll just press your head under his arms, and he'll show you Nabi Sallallahu alive. Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahab Sahanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi saw him, and told him, Shabir Ahmad, tum kab tak is bidat mein rahoge? Logo ko kab tak dhoka mein rakhoge? Until when will you deceive people? When will you depart from your bidat? Now the point to notice is something else. Now look at Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Sahab, look at this Shabir Ahmad, and look at Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahab Sahanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. He's passed away approximately already 19 years, right? Approximately 90-100 years he's passed away. But his works are still flowing. This whole Tabligh Jamaat movement, a lot of his khanqas, other Shaykh al-Hadith, everything, is moving, and it's the same stream that is moving. But do anybody of us hear about Shabir Ahmad? Any of his work? So this is the might, this is the power in the Sunnah. That Sunnah has got a life. This thing here will show some excitement for a short duration. Jump up, get some exciting feelings, and that thing will just drop after that. So what we are talking of, bala man aslama wajhahu lillah. The whole point here is this, that we need to conform to the sunnah. The sunnah is the standard. That is the benchmark, that is the standard. And we need to see, are we emulating this? Are we on course? If we're not, then we're not on course. This was over, then he asked me another question. The same doctor, he asked me another question. So the second question he asked was, you know, they all talk something about the tasawwuf and must keep to one sheikh and all that. What is that all about? I could see now, this was a doctor that I'm speaking to. I don't want to confuse him, right? I don't want to confuse him because he's an educated person first. And number two, if I'm going to confuse him, for the rest of his life, he'll remain in confusion. So I have to give an illustration, very simple, very direct. We must go right to him. So I explained to him, see, you got a situation of a class, right? Classroom situation. Or you got to say, a factory or whatever, right? Industry, factory or a business. And you got a staff, and the staff relates just to one boss, right? He knows in his heart that he's a very good boss. He's appreciative. He acknowledges the good work that I do. And he rewards also accordingly. But he wants his work done as well. He'll give, but he wants his work done as well. Now, this is one situation that you report to just one boss. And you know the nature of the boss. And there's another situation where you've got 10 bosses, right? He's telling you do this, he's saying do this, right? Now what would you prefer? Reporting to one boss or reporting to 10? Now if you have to report to 10, you're going to be filled with anxiety in your mind. Okay, if I'm going to please this one, he's going to get sad, right? He's going to get disappointed. By, you only got time for him, but no time for me. You're going to listen to this one, you feel again that if you listen to this one, that one is going to get disappointed. So, all the time, your mind is going to be in a quandary. He's in a state of confusion. You can't come right. Because you are always in that state. Okay, I'm listening to this one, he's going to get disappointed. I'm going to listen to that one, he's going to get disappointed. Now, what must I do? So, na idhar ke rahe, na udhar ke rahe. That is the one example illustrated. And the second example I gave him, well, I said, see, a mother, right, she's milking the child. So the child has got his aunts, his khalas, mother's sisters, 10 of them, and the mother, right? When it is the time for milking, the child is going to go to his mother. And initially, perhaps the mother will have to be a little bit hard also in seeing and ensuring that she comes to me. Why? Because the mother's milk is compatible to this child, agreeable, it's got everything, temperament, compatibility, everything, and the right thing for the development of this child. As healthy as these other khalas or these other aunties will be, this child can't be going there. And we know the reasons. We know. All, now everybody becomes scientists and doctors. So we know what's the reason. Right? But the child will respect all. He's not going to show any disregard for any of his aunts. He'll show respect to all. But when it is a point of milking, he's going to come straight to his mother. Why is that? We know that the one that is in charge of giving health, right, and development is Allah Ta'ala. He provides. But then why does he go only to one? We know the reason. Development, there is a compatibility, there is an understanding. This mother will know, right, this is my child. And according to his temperament, what I should be eating. I need to eat this type of vitamin, this type of protein, etc. I need to eat all that and I'll provide the right type of milk. And that will be the most suitable thing for my child. This mother knows, she'll take all the care. The others, they're foreign to this child. So they won't know the adjustments that they have to make in order to feed this child. It may not be healthy. It may be healthy, it may not be healthy. And the meanwhile, even if it's healthy, but the child is confused. One day is going here, one day is going here. One day the system is agreeing, some one day is not agreeing. So he doesn't know what he's doing. It's not going to be for the right thing for his development. The right thing for his development is to stick to your mother. The provider is Allah Ta'ala. We know. Who says that the provider is not Allah Ta'ala? It's Allah Ta'ala. But then why do we insist that he must remain with his mother? We know about it. That Allah Ta'ala has created certain systems and the systems must be respected. So he says to me, well, for the first time in my life, I mean, hearing all about this, going to this bayans, different places, but for the first time in my life, this thing settled in my mind at length, you know, it just settled. So I explained afterwards, you see, I just gave you a broad overview. But the actual, one of the more important reasons why you select one person and then don't hop around is the nafs, in the human temperament, or call it temptation, call it that evil within you, right? Its tricks are very, very subtle. You can't perceive it just like that. You think you can perceive it so easily. You don't want to perceive it. Just want to show you one situation, real situation, real incident. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that I desperately needed a house just next door to me. He had two wives, and I needed a house. Right? And if it's going to be close together, it's going to be easy for me. My age now, and it's going to be easy for me. Both are together, the movement all will be minimal. So I've been making dua. In the meanwhile, my neighbor that was just next door to me, he came up and he says, you know, I'm moving on to Delhi because I'm a professional person. If I'm going to stay in a small place, you know, Katorido somewhere, then there's no opportunities for me. I need to go to Overport somewhere where there's better opportunities, right? Hospitals, etc., all around here. And I'm here, so I'm not going to get the opportunities. So I've already confirmed a job already. In this hospital, I've confirmed in a central area. Got a good job, good salary, good package, everything I've got. Now, I don't see the need to keep this house here that I've got in Thanabon because it's a small farm, this place here, compared to this. But Mona, what's your take? What do you feel about the whole thing? So now, Molana is desperate for a house next door. Now, look at it. Just look at it in retrospect. If it was one of us, how we would have reasoned, how would we have rationalized, say, see, you know, I didn't even ask. This, I got no doubt, came from Allah Pak straight. Came straight from Allah Pak. I didn't even ask, I didn't even tell anybody, I just asked Allah Ta'ala, see, Allah Ta'ala makes everything happen. Now this is our reasoning. Now that Shaykh, he's going to see the chore that's inside. And he'll understand, because he understands himself. And he holds himself to be responsible and answerable to Allah Ta'ala. Al-mustasharu mu'tamanun. This man came to consult me. He came to consult me in all confidence. When he came to consult me in confidence, then I need to tell him what is best. What I would have done in that situation, I must tell him. فَلْيُشِرْ بِمَّا هُوَ صَانِعٌ لِنَفْسِي. I must tell him what I would have thought for myself. So Mu'tazil, you see, I won't advise you to sell this. Though I need the house, and I wish to buy this, and I'll pay you full, in fact, more than what you asked for, but my suggestion is not to sell the house. Why? So many times a person goes out for a job, right? And for some reasons, he's not too happy, not too comfortable with the job. When he's not comfortable with the job, then he needs to have a base. Now he's sold up here, he doesn't have any base. Na idhar ke rahe, na udhar ke rahe. The better thing for you is you keep this. If you're happy, you can still decide about selling it, you can still think about it, you can still consider. And if for some reason you're not happy, you still got a base to return to. Now, this is that subtle chore, subtle rogue and the thief that's within you, right? And that subtle thief is not perceived by everybody. You see, there's a difference, right? One is to think of Allah Ta'ala, and one is to perceive Allah Ta'ala. There's two different things. One is a thought, got a thought of Allah Ta'ala, and one is to feel His presence. To feel the presence is a different thing, and to think of Him is a different thing, as a different level, right? In a shop, in a business, the worker, he feels the presence of his boss. So everything goes right. Why? He feels the presence of his boss. Everything is right. Immaculate. His dress, his clothing, his work, his performance, his duties, his timings, everything. Because he feels the presence of his boss. Presence of his senior, he feels it. A classroom situation, again, the child feels the presence of the teacher. When he feels the presence, he perceives the presence, everything is right. But if he disregards the teacher, ignores him, or the teacher is not around, now, how unruly don't they become? So exactly the same, in this tasawwuf, this is what they try to do. Is they bring you to a level where you can actually feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So the wrong that happens in your life is because we haven't brought the thought to the level of feel. I'm trying to bring it in a very simple language. They may be using difficult words in Arabic folders, right? But just for getting to know and understand, at our level, one is to think and one is to feel the presence. So the thinking is a different thing, and to feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala is a different thing. Now, is it possible for you to do anything wrong? Even to think of anything wrong, is it possible? It's impossible, you can't even think of wrong. You know, some of us, when we're sitting in the presence of a buzrug, right, then we don't want to even think of wrong. Hey, kahin usko kasht na ho jaye. Don't you think like that? Let us be true to ourselves. Don't you think like that? Hey, he must just get some kash for something. Allah Pak may just show him. And I'll just get embarrassed just now, you know. So rather, hey, I keep my mind straight here. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody. Now, if we have that level of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, can we even think and fantasize of anything wrong? Can't. So, this is the whole effort. The whole effort is to bring you to that level. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. That you feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Now, even to think about that becomes like an impossible task. So, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, today what I tried to explain was these feelings that people go through, and then we base our decisions on the feelings and the experience that we go through. Whereas, this type of feelings, it's not a criteria, it's not a standard. And you don't have to even have deen to be able to throw those feelings. To pass on those feelings, you don't have to have deen also. A Hindu can do it. A Christian faith healer can do it. They make you feel, alright, now you can walk for the one day. After that, they moved away that spell of this, what happened? Back to normal, right? For the one day, they had the spell on you, so you're walking very well. Hey, faith healer, when the physique came right. After that, what happened? Came back to normal. Right? So these are not the standards that we go by. So, Balaman Aslam Wajhu. But in the meanwhile, we also need to understand, like I said, gave an example, that the child will go to his mother, but the child needs to equally respect the mother's sisters as well. So like you respect your sheikh, but then the sheikh's brothers, all other mashayikh, they are his brothers like. So like you respect him, you respect them. But when there's instructions, and there is a commitment, the commitment to him, an instruction he'll give. Then you're not going to take instruction from everybody, because now you think, hey, I'm going to be listening to this one will get disappointed. I'm going to listen to that one, this one is going to get disappointed. You're going to get your mind into a quandary. When you get in your mind into a quandary, then your path is, you blocked your path. But who blocked your path? You blocked it yourself. Because you're taking instruction from too many people. Now who must I listen to? Who mustn't I listen to? You brought a confusion to yourself. So just listen to one person and continue your way. Yagdar gir, muhkam gir. They say, hold to one road, and then hold firmly to that road. Then don't look. You be committed. To the proportion of your commitment is your progress. You need to commit yourself. Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, this two things is required in this path. One is ittila, and the second is ittiba. One is, you need to relate to your sheikh. Whoever your sheikh relates, constantly you relate to him. Once a week, if it's a need, then even thrice in the week, you need to relate. Something is confusing, something is worrying you, troubling you. You don't know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Now you get so many questions coming up like this. My fiancé, and we had, we're going so well, and I saw so many good dreams about him. Or he's saying, I saw so many good dreams about her, you know. And they're going, meeting each other, staying at each other's house, and they're getting dreams. And they consider those dreams to be wahi. Whereas the relationship is haram. They're not married. How can the relationship be right? The dream would be all obviously inspired by shaitan. Now they consider that to be a wahi, because you're going with feelings. Your standard, what is the motivation? What is the catalyst? Feelings. So your feelings say you're taking you in a direction, you're going in that direction. That is why the hadith says, Man samya bi dajjal falyana minhu. You hear about dajjal, then keep a distance. Because he'll have the same power to overwhelm you with his power of concentration. He'll make you think, he'll make you feel the presence of certain things. He'll make you feel as though your father came up from the grave. Allah will give him that type of ability. So therefore the hadith is, by you aren't in the position of confronting him. You are not in the position of challenging him. When you're not in the position of challenging him, then you move away from him. فَلْيَنَا مِنْهُ. Move away. Keep a distance. Why did the hadith have to say that? Understand, why did the hadith have to say this? So one is this commitment and relationship. You need to emulate. You need to relate. And after relating, then you emulate as well. Not just relate. Just keep on telling, give stories, this happened, 10-page story. And then no emulating. You relate and then you emulate. And because I be this thing here, so I understand. Sometimes someone relates, what they need to relate is just one line. But they'll give you a 10-page story. But come to the point, just tell exactly what happened. Leave all the other story. Because now you have to do justice. Listen to him, read his mails, read his mails. Now you got 10 pages. Now kaam ki baat tumhas ek satar ki hai. So isn't it unfair? Talk about your thing, what you need to talk, move. Give the next person a chance. Almo Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi had one murid, So this murid is also here from all different type of mindset. So he saw now, he's reading dream and he writes about 20 pages, 30 pages, eating up so much of time. So Mawla told him, Ainda agar likhna ho, to mahas do satar mein likhna. But only write in two lines. So this bright person, what he did, he took some paper 3 meters long. Two lines. You see? Now, is that the right thing? Not the right thing. Now, kaam ki baat, agar kaam ki baat, it's genuine, you need to talk, must talk about it. But idhar udhar ki baat, that distracts you and it distracts him as well. It hurts him. But sometimes because of consideration, he will not tell you, why you taking up my time, eating up my time. But you need to know, right? Like, you respect your time. It's your business time. You don't want people to come and infringe. Yes. There can't keep up. So you are a customer. You need to talk about work, talk about it, and then move. You need to write an email. You write it, and then you move. So it's a friendly, cordial relationship. You want to see the person, and he wants to see you. But you know, it's going to be genuine talk, that genuine work is going to take place. But this is the first two things. And the two things that I say that are the obstructions in this way. Great, great obstruction. One is khudbini and the other is khudrai. One is self-admiration. Simple words. Self-admiration. And the other is self-opinionating. The hadith also speaks about this. Ujub and the tasawuf also, they talk about these two points. One is self-admiration and one is got a mind of his own. So now leave your mind of your own. Come again onto unconditional submission. Leave your mind of your own. Because he's seen the path and he knows what is the better thing for you. He knows what is not good for you. You may think that a certain thing is good for you because you're getting some experience and what excitement you're going through, so you feel something is good for you. I'll just create one incident to show you how this thing works. Hazrat Shaykh al Hadith Muhammad Zakaria says that I was in the company of my Shaykh. One person wrote a letter, the experiences that he went through, the dreams and what nur and what he was going through. Hazrat Shaykh Alhamdulillah says that I was absolutely certain now the Shaykh is going to confer khilafah to me. But meri ta'ajjub ki intiha nahi rahi. Says I was really bewildered when Hazrat Mawlana Sanpuri dictated the letter. I had to, because Mawlana was unable to write the letter, so he dictated. He says, besides your faraz and sunnat and muakkada, leave all your nafils and zikrs. Leave everything out. Because this person was getting some experiences, and because of the experience, he was getting involved in self-admiration. Right? He was getting involved in self-admiration. And self-admiration becomes an obstruction. Now he couldn't see it. Now who's going to see this? Who's going to perceive this? The one that is his elder, he's going to see it. You think you are making progress, but what's really happening is you're getting involved, that zikr will have a certain feeling, it has a certain feel. That feel now, you begin to feel that because I'm going through this feeling, really I'm making progress. But really it's not progress, it is retrogress. Now who's going to make this out? Who's going to rule this out, that this is not progress, it is retrogress? He's going to make it out. So he'll keep a balance. See, the Quran speaks about two things, bir wa taqwa. One is righteousness and one is restraint. So you need to have an accelerator, but the car also needs to have a brake. You only have an accelerator, you're going to cause problems. You only have brakes, you're going to have problems. So bir and taqwa. You need that motivation to do good, but also that restraint. The restraint must be proportionately so strong. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.